This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by our fine supporters at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Check out Rogue Transmissions, our weekly bonus audio podcast available exclusively at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. On with the show! Coming up on the Star Wars reports, it's plural. Stephen Melching tweeted about Captain Rex, and that was a thing. John Boyega talking Last Jedi and more. Let's do it. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. Never a dull moment here in the world of Star Wars. In the world of the fan community, in the world of Star Wars podcasting. Man, it's just craziness. Absolute craziness. I'm so glad to have you. I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this podcast episode. This is the Star Wars Report podcast. You've just kind of stumbled across what I consider to be just about the most fun hour or so, or in today's case, probably closer to half hour, a podcast this side of the Outer Rim. Let's get into the show, folks. Let's bring him in. He's co-hosting. He's in the co-pilot seat today. He's my Chewbacca today. It's the one and only Bruce Gibson. It's the producer of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't do a Wookiee sound.
Oh, you can't? Why can't you do it? No, see, that's a really bad Wookiee sound. I'm not going to lie. That was really poor.
That's a dying Wookiee in the woods.
that was like a dying Wookiee from the holiday special. No, there's a couple ways. You have to, can you roll the... Roll
I
the tongue.
Roll my tongue. If that's where you're going.
That's the problem. See that. That is your problem, sir.
I don't
sir.
Speak Spanish.
So that's where it starts, because you got to go right. You have, that's the, you hear the buzz, but you got to go. But then you have to have like the little growly noise. So it's like. Right? You have to have that. That's the little character that he has.
I can't do that. I cannot do the tongue thing. It drives me crazy. I don't even know how to, like, practice to do that.
You and Jar Jar, your tongue is fabished. Is that what Jar Jar says in The Phantom Menace? What is that quote? My tongue is fabished. When he, like, gets stuck in the pod racer? I don't
remember. Yeah, something like that. I don't think he says fab. I don't know. I can do that.
You're Jar Jar stuck in the energy beam of a pod racer impression. Spot on, sir. But
when I saw that movie, I was like, yes, I don't have to roll my R's anymore. I can just do Jar Jar.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Yes. So this is the Star Wars Report. This is episode 293. We're actually getting pretty close to 2,000. How about that? How about them apples?
Wait, what do you mean we're getting close to 2,000?
What? 2,000? End of 2017 when we hit 300 episodes. That's what I was going to say.
We're getting close to 2,000 episodes. You know what? I can only hope that we reach 2,000 episodes, because that means Star Wars is still alive.
I don't know if I want that, because that means we're still alive in the year's like 2075. It's gonna be like 2200 or something like that by the time that comes around.
That's fine with
and
me.
That's kind of a scary thing to contemplate. Let's get out of here. Let's get into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Hey Bruce, you heard of the Twitter? The Twitters?
I've heard of that Twitter thing. Tweet.
The Twitter. Now, the good thing about Twitter is that as a communication medium, it lends itself to highly intelligent, contextual, thoroughly thought out, and really socially relevant and pleasant conversation. That's the good thing about Twitter. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely not, but please continue.
Unless
Twitter's been driving me crazy lately.
Unless you're Steve Melching, because so here's the thing. Here's the deal. Steve Melching sent a tweet. Man, how many? Can I just pause for a second? Like, how many news? It's every week. One of the news stories is centers on something somebody said on Twitter. Usually, it's Pablo,
right?
Maybe Dave Filoni, but in this case, it's Star Wars Rebels writer Stephen Melching, who quote-unquote confirmed that Captain Rex is that old dude in Return of the Jedi. You know, the fuzzy white bearded fella. You know,
right, who's hiding behind the doors.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. He's got a pretty sweet like full beard going on. But yeah, it's on. He's on the rebel in the Imperial. I guess it's Imperial. Yeah, the Imperial bunker, the shield generator.
Where Han taps the stormtrooper, hey, and he goes running, scout trooper or whatever, hey, and he goes chasing him and goes around the corner, and there's all those guys pointing guns right at him.
Yeah, yeah, that's the dude, and he's like right in front. He's got like the commando kneel going on. And he's like shoving a gun in the stormtrooper's face. So the stormtrooper was basically, hey, whoa, that was the stormtrooper.
Hey, get off my lawn.
Hey,
it is a very distinct kind of.
Hey,
but he tweeted out this image of Captain Rex. This concept art of Captain Rex from the Clone Wars season 4. It's coming up on season 4, right? Yeah, season 4.
Rebels.
Did I say Clone Wars? I said Clone Wars, didn't I?
You said Clone Wars.
How is this still happening?
Clone Trooper.
How did I? Yeah, I'm gonna use that excuse. Bruce. That's my excuse. This is a Clone Trooper. That's why. It's not like I'm still. Sad and bitter and missing Clone Wars 3 years into Star Wars Rebels. That's not a thing. You're fine.
Have you seen The Forces of Destiny?
Oh my God. Let me tell you about it. No. All right. Stop it. But he shared this image of the concept art, and it's like this little side by side of Rebel Santa Claus there. It's cool because like they've kind of redone Captain Rex with the commando helmet with the funky like it's got a bill but also like a metallic headband for protection and the full on like green vest and commando pants, but it's still the clone boots, gauntlets and belt. So it's like a combination of like what would happen if like rebel troopers in Return of the Jedi stumbled across a bunch of clone armor and decided to accentuate their I say accentuate like it's a fashion, like it's like next up on the fashion walk, it's Rebel Santa Claws with the Clone Wars accessories. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, the Clone Wars accessories, the gauntlets really do accentuate the bulging biceps on Captain Rex. He'll have the ladies swooning, Captain Rex. No, but he tweeted that out. Now, we don't have the tweet now because he deleted it, but so I'm going to paraphrase.
I saw the tweet, but I can't remember exactly what it said.
I'm going to paraphrase.
It indicated that Rex is
the guy. There was one phrase that stuck out to me, thanks to Steele Saunders' Twitter timeline. And my friend, Bruce, my friend, that phrase is, it's all connected.
Oh, yes, he did say that.
It's all connected, ladies and gentlemen. It's all.
So obviously what he's saying is Rebels is connected to Return of the Jedi.
I mean, it's pretty explicit.
Is Rex in Return of the Jedi.
So here's the thing about listen, you got your, you know, I'm getting ready to fly to Austin, Texas. We're going to talk about it in Boba's Bounty. And sometimes you get your in-flight service, right? And sometimes we've also been to movie theaters. Bruce, you and I have been to AMC Dine-In Buckhead. Really nice theater. And they have like a dine-in experience. They have dine-in service. Mm-hmm. In the world of Star Wars Twitterland, they have what's called fan service. I don't know if you've heard of this. In this world of fan service, they
do things
like
peanuts.
They do things like official writers from Star Wars Rebels tweet out images side by side of a character from Return of the Jedi with Captain Rex in the exact same costume, kind of looking the same, and then saying things like "It's all connected," and then they walk back on it. And then there's just like a turn around, take a stroll in the opposite direction, because let me tell you, Bruce, you told me before we started the show off the air that you
you do not discuss what I say off air on the show unless you have written permission from
me. Okay, yeah, sorry.
So what was it?
Dear listeners of the Star Wars Report, I talked to a friend right before the show.
Oh,
and
wow.
He or she was saying... terrible Wookiee impression. No, see, now I lost my train of thought. This is the problem. Captain Rex.
Captain Rex and everything's connected.
Yeah, it's not helping. My poor brain. guys, it's a problem. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's wrong with me, guys.
And then you're going to Austin, Texas, but that's later in the show.
Sometimes I'm just podcasting. I'm wondering, why do I do this?
I'm just so excited that this character in Return of the Jedi is actually Captain Rex.
Well, that's what a few people on set, Oh, but this, yes, I remembered. Thank you. So this friend of mine was saying that he or she kind of missed a lot of the, what's the word? The hullabaloo. There was a baloo and a hulla, and they were mashed together. A hullabaloo. That's a great word. And there was, my friend, Bruce, there was a lot of hullabaloo.
Sounds like you have an amazing friend, by the way.
Well, I mean, he or she's pretty sweet. Like, Bruce, I only wish that they were on the show right now. Because, like, I'm going to say, honestly, like, today's show so far, maybe a B minus. We might edge towards a B plus by the Boba's Bounty segment. But, you know, I'm just saying, man. You know, like 3.5, 4 stars out of 5.
It's like, I feel like you're trying to get somewhere, but you just can't get there.
Yeah, it's something like that. No, the hullabaloo. So hullabaloo. They made Captain Rex Santa Claus, and people did not like this.
Wait, what do you mean they made him Santa Claus? He doesn't wear a red suit. He's not on a sleigh.
Listen, I'm just saying that there was a there's a colloquial term, and I think I can best describe it as a kind of an attempted soapish cleansing of the lighter shades. I'm just gonna say there's some whitewashing going on here, and like it was legitimately frustrating me because you had this totally different, like there's the racial element, there's also like the whole continuity element of like clones. We thought the clones were supposed to age rapidly. How would Captain Rex still be around in Return of the Jedi? Here's the important thing, because we had I happen to be, you're not gonna believe this, Bruce, but I actually was in the presence of one Will Ferrell when this news broke. He was at the mall, actually, believe it or not. So I was right there. Let's take a listen. I had my recorder too, so here we go.
Time for an announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
When he heard that Captain Rex was the one and the same guy from Return of the Jedi.
Oh my gosh, that's the same way I reacted about it too. This is exciting Santa! News. Santa! It's all connected.
That was a weird noise. I should not have tried to imitate Will Ferrell in that quote. At which point I'm just gonna go like right here. At which point Steele Saunders tweeted out a picture of Lor San Tekka from The Force Awakens. He says, oh, is it Lando in The Force Awakens? # it's all connected. And then he tweeted out a picture of the Ion Cannon lady. The Ion Cannon lady from Empire Strikes Back. And said, hey, it's Hera in The Empire Strikes Back. # it's all connected.
I'm trying to look for these right now, so I'm on his account, but I haven't found it yet.
Well, he tweets a lot. A lot of tweeting going on. So, basically, what happened? So that there's this large scale reaction. Now, there's a ton of.
Oh my gosh, he was at White Castle the other day. Okay, sorry, go on.
There's so much going on that I have a lot of thoughts kind of stewing around when this story's going, and I think there are a lot of different people read the story different ways based off of how you feel about these different issues, and far be it for me to get overtly political, but I will say this: there is something that kind of got my goat on this whole story, and I'm gonna say this. The whole reason this is even a problem. The whole reason is the cutesy idea of the fan theory of like Captain Rex looking like with the beard in season 3, kind of looking like the dude looking like, oh, the Return of the Jedi dude. So there's this fan theory that circulated around on social media, like, oh, maybe Captain Rex grew up and survived. Oh, wouldn't that be funny? And there's, so it's all over social media. Now, Dave Filoni sees this and thinks it's funny. And why do I know that? Because he said so at Celebration on stage. Like, yeah, it's really funny, guys. It's a thing. So when they showed the concept art, like, oh, it's interesting. You know, there we go. And so Steve Melching, I almost feel kind of sorry for him, tweets this out with it's all connected, and people go nuts for legitimate reasons. And then, in my opinion, the dumbest thing about the whole thing is that we don't need a character from Star Wars Rebels to just uselessly mash his way into Return of the Jedi for no other reason than somebody on Twitter thought it was would be cool, and that they had a beard. They had a white beard. Like, that, and they're nothing alike. Like, yes, he's a commando. There's the age difference, but also, like, Temuera Morrison in Attack of the Clones is this awesome, badass bounty hunter. And, like, he's got the sweet Maori accent. Like, Jango Fett is this amazing, like, force of weight of Attack of the Clones. One of my favorite battle scenes, period, is Jango versus Obi-Wan. It's sort of this equal physical skills plus wits plus smarts plus tech. You know, like, there's a mythology to the character, right? And so, by just saying, and also he's a rebel commando in the shield bunker because somebody on Twitter thought it was cool. Like, that doesn't fit. It doesn't work. Where am I wrong? Correct me, Bruce.
I don't know why it doesn't work. I mean, it would if Return of the Jedi wasn't made yet and we were making Rebels and they put this character in Return of the Jedi as an Easter egg to say, hey, Rex is there helping out. We'd all be like, oh, that's so cool. They put Rex in the movie. But now you're saying no, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess the thing I'm saying is, I mean, it doesn't have to be done. We don't have to make him Rex, you're right. But it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun to think Rex is there on Endor helping with the rebels take down the Empire. And, he's getting older. Maybe he's not, you know, he's not doing all the badass things he used to do, and I'm going to join the rebels and help them out here.
Yeah, see? I'm just going to pick up my gun here and go to the...
I mean, it's not Christmas time yet. He doesn't have to be at the mall.
This is true. No,
what do you want,
I would agree with you if there was a reason for the cameo, but it's sort of like having the ghost in Rogue One. It's fun, but... the frustrating part to me is that it's the worst kind of, it's not the worst kind, but it is a really just dumb kind of fan service, because there's no
story. Yeah, but we have a lot of that.
There's no story element here. Like, if there was an element of how, and maybe I'm wrong, you know what? I'm willing to be wrong. I'm not going to cast judgment yet. Maybe there's this amazing subplot in Rebel Season 4 that explains maybe something about the clones surviving and going on to the timeline of Return of the Jedi, how maybe he saved and shared his tactical knowledge, and like maybe he gains experience like bombing and surrounding and bombing a separate or an Imperial bunker. Right? And like his knowledge is what is used then, and it makes perfect sense why he would be at the Battle of Endor and his expertise would be used to take over the bunker. I could see story elements where they do that. But mark my words, I'm staring at my webcam. I don't even have it on. I was going to be staring at Bruce. No, mark my words. I'm staring now at Bruce. This is how serious it is. This is serious business. There will be no elements of any of that kind of storytelling. It was just a giggle, giggle, laugh. And listen, there are worse things than giggle, giggle, laugh. Like, it doesn't have to be a big... I could see, like, it doesn't have to be a big issue. And, like, I'm not trying to make a big mountain out of a molehill or anything like that. But I do think that you have to look at, like, the story elements here. Because what this is casting in greater light are the story potential that they have with Rebels that they aren't exploring. Like, the story of Season 3 was a story of arc, story arc after story arc after story arc, having so many possibilities for telling meaningful stories within the canon that really expand the mythology and delve deep into the characters, and they just didn't do it. Not enough for my taste. Listen, with exceptions, like the season two finale, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Best Star Wars television that we've ever had. A season, Ahsoka, freaking Ahsoka versus Vader, right? Even the Inquisitor. Listen, that episode had the dumb lightsabers, and it's still my favorite episode of Star Wars television, period, because it had freaking like Darth Maul exploring what it means to be a Sith and the nature of evil and the holocrons and mythology, man. Anyway,
are you calmed down now?
John Boyega said something.
Wait, before we go to John Boyega, let me say this.
Okay, all right.
I do agree that we don't need to have everything connected, because right now in the novels, which are canon, and even we've had things like in the expanded universe where we do see too many things connected. The universe seems to get too small. So in Aftermath, there's a character in there who's a bounty hunter, and she was at the Battle of Endor. Like, oh, I didn't know she was there. And then we've got books, even the latest book, Inferno Squad. Well, apparently there's some survivors from the destruction of the first Death Star. So it's getting to the point that they're stretching a little too much to have too many characters be in all the same places at the same time. And even though we don't see them there in the movies, well, trust us, they were there. They did survive. They were on Endor. And yeah, we don't really need a whole lot of that. It is a lot of fan service. So I agree with you there, but I'm just saying it'd be fun if we either make this guy on Endor, make him Rex, or we make him Santa Claus. I think either way would be fine with me.
You're like, you're in the hashtag Santa Claus rebel is your operating theory.
Santa Claus is coming to Endor.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Captain Rex is a clone trooper, but he can still survive until Endor and can grow a beard and suddenly look exactly like Santa Claus for some reason, because somebody said it on Twitter and Dave Filoni thought it was cool and said so on stage at Celebration.
And it's not true.
Town.
The tweet has been deleted. It's not true.
Oh, that's true. I forgot to actually tell the ending of the story. The ending of the story, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to make a note of this. Remind me to say the Anakin alternative, because I will forget, because my brain's like that tonight. So like, I have an alternative. I'm not just going to come with the problem. I'm not just going to rant and rave about everything I disagree with or anything like that. No. I have an idea. I have a solution. In fact, something I'd be totally open to, some version of, perhaps, that we might see in season 4, that I'll stand corrected. Stephen Melching went on a long tweet thread that explained it. He said, "Friends, allow me to clarify the provocative and badly worded tweet from earlier today. When Rex was redesigned from his appearance in season 2 of Rebels," that's right, it was season 2, "many people saw the similarity to Nick Sant in Return of the Jedi. I didn't notice the resemblance until fans pointed it out after the release of the season 2 trailer. Many on the crew thought the resemblance was amusing too. But it wasn't an intentional design choice at that point. Each season, most character models change, and the Ghost crew grows closer to the larger rebellion. Their costumes often reflect that. Rex clearly is wearing some of the costume pieces that resemble the Rebel Commandos in Return of the Jedi. As a soldier, this makes sense." So, I'm sorry.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. I do want to finish the tweet. I just there's a brief technical error, everybody. Just bear with me just a moment, because Steve Melching has. I mean, the tweet thread does explain a lot, and I don't want to sell. I don't want to.
You better watch out. You better not I don't, cry.
I don't. I just. What I'm saying is, folks, is that I just don't.
What are you doing?
I don't want to do anything short. I just want to make sure that everything's ready to go here. All right.
We're all sitting here like...
Yeah. All right, here we go. Steve Belching, everybody. So are Rex and Nick Sant one and the same? Truthfully, I don't know the answer. All right, I'm going to... That was a really long way.
No, I like that. Keep it going.
That's a really long way about to... That's a long way. That's a long road to get to that joke.
The setup was a lot longer than the joke.
Yes. Truthfully, I don't know the answer. I just wish I had made that clear originally. I didn't want to, but I deleted my earlier tweet, which was continuing to perpetuate a misunderstanding despite my efforts to clarify. Steve Melching, everybody. That's... I shouldn't be having fun this much fun being.
You're having too much fun.
I am. But that's listen, good. Listen. It's a thing. It's just, you know, it's just a thing, right? It's just these things happen, right?
It's a thing. It just shows we need to stay off Twitter.
And listen, like Steve Melching, this is last week. Like it all seriousness. What began as attempt to be amusing spun out of control, and I can't confirm anything. Thanks, and may the force be with you. Now listen, like actually, I totally believe the dude, and he's put in a pickle. Like he tweeted later, like he was going into a movie theater, and he thought, oh, this is cool, so he tweeted out the picture, not thinking of it, and it's easy to do, like. I've listened. There's probably something I've said on this podcast that'll be anyway. That's all I'm saying. And then here's the Anakin alternative. Maybe instead of tweeting out funny pictures saying it's all connected, or telling us cool story elements that just never made it into Star Wars Rebels, Dave Filoni. Present. Here's an alternative. Instead of Rex is the Nick Sant from Return of the Jedi, maybe Rex is the last defender on an outpost of the Rebellion, protecting a key piece of information that has to be transported out of the base. But the base is being overrun, and the Ghost crew can't make it in time, so he makes his last stand, facing off against his former general, Darth Vader, and he goes down in a blaze of glory, saving the entire Rebellion. That's a story. Like, that's... that would be... But they're not going to do it. Just... I mean, listen. I'm open. I will be watching Rebels Season 4.
Maybe they'll write a book. Maybe there'll be a novel like that. But then you won't read it. Poor guy. I feel sorry for you.
Are you talking to me or Steve Melching?
Both of you. Steve, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
The Star Wars Report podcast is made possible only by the fine folks supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That is the way we fund this operation. It's how we pay for our hosting fees, equipment, everything that we use to cover conventions and do the weekly podcast. It's all because of you guys. And we do want to thank you guys who support us, because that's why we restructured. Literally last month, I wanted to start doing regular bonus content for you guys who support us. And we did. It's called Rogue Transmissions. It's our weekly... our weekly bonus audio podcast. In fact, we just released our full nearly hour conversation right now. It's at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. It's our roundtable that we just had. It was an absolute blast, and you can check it out. It's latest Rogue Transmissions available right there. It's man, Patreon has totally changed the game for podcasters, and it's so much. I'm so grateful, because listen, you guys really stepped up in the last few weeks, because we set a goal that I honestly wasn't sure that we were gonna hit. And I wanted to get to 50 patrons. I wanted to change it from a straight financial goal to just a numbers of, like, doesn't matter what you donate, but could we get to 50 patrons? And doggone it, but you guys did it. Thank you so much. Because at 50 patrons, there's something we're going to do, Bruce.
We reached 50. That's amazing. What are we going to do?
I'll tell you what we're going to do, Bruce. We have unlocked the monthly Megapod. Megapod.
It's a Megapod.
That's right. At 50 patrons, we promised not just for patrons. Unlike Rogue Transmissions, we're going to be unlocking a brand new mega podcast. It's going to be a long-form interview-style podcast monthly. Now, I'm in the process of scheduling our first one because I'll be in Austin, Texas this weekend, hanging out with none other than Teresa Delgado. And so I'm working right now to where she'll be our debut.
This is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the megapod from the state where everything's big in Texas.
Why didn't I think of that? I should have thought of that. Yeah, no, we just got to 50 patrons. And you know what? We were at like 45 or something. And then suddenly, literally last week, a bunch of people like all jumped in at within an hour on like a Tuesday morning. I don't even remember. I wonder, like somebody had to have... I'm just going to say this on air. I have no idea what happened. Somebody like plugged the show or something. I don't know. But to Josh, John Williams, 12 Parsecs, Alan Smithy, Jenny Fafield, I just sent all of you guys, if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't gotten it, log into your Patreon account. I just sent you all the details on how to join the Facebook group as well as the Facebook chat, which is awesome. It's our ongoing fun little conversation. So
I'm sorry. Did you mention John Williams?
Yes. The one and only, in fact. He was just like, hey, guys, I really like that podcast. Baby.
Hey, baby.
Yeah. So go check it out.
Baby Driver. That's a great movie.
Is he slow? So check it out. I won't take any more time out of the podcast. Just to say, I just wanted to say it's such an honor to have you guys on board. And we're gonna set another goal for some more. Set the next one. We're gonna find some cool stuff that we could unlock for yet another goal. But in the meantime, go check it out. If you are a patron and you're at the like a dollar, if you're at the tip jar jar, which is the dollar where you just join the chat and get access to all the archive, that's awesome. If you want to upgrade, the $5 level is the Rogue Transmissions level, and that's how you get our weekly bonus podcast. Latest episode, the Porglicious Patron Roundtable, which is exactly what it sounds like. Us talking about porgs, we talked about the con season and the Dragon Con plans, New York Comic Con, and of course, porg talk. We talk about porgs. Also, a dramatic reading of BB-8 on the Run. which is, I guess, kind of exclusive because the book isn't out yet. But the kids' book, BB-8 on the Run, the good folks at Disney sent over to us, along with an autographed one sheet. Check this out, Bruce. It's pretty sweet. Ray? Oh, it's sweet. It's Ray. Yeah. So, yeah. And also, I did a blow-by-blow commentary on the D23 vlog. It's all available at the latest Rogue Transmissions episode, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's PATREON. .com/StarWarsReport. Celebrate good times. Come on. Let's celebrate. Did we just blow like the entire show on one story? I think we did, Bruce. Is that what just happened?
Yeah, pretty much. But we can keep going. Let's keep this going.
Let's hit through
some other stuff because I want to talk about Clint Howard.
Clint Howard, of course, the lil bro to Ron Howard, OP, is going to be in the Han Solo movie. Andy Love on Twitter, AndyLove123, tweeted Ron Howard, "Please tell me if you have a role for Clint." At which point, Ron Howard tweeted him back and said, "You won't be disappointed."
Oh, yet another Twitter story. How do we know we can believe this?
How do
we know it's all connected?
How do we
know that maybe Clint's not going to be in the movie?
Yeah, what if Ron Howard deletes the tweet?
You're right.
John
Boyega is going to delete it.
John Boyega talked to Entertainment Weekly about having different directors for each movie. And talked a little bit about that creative process and what it's like in this kind of franchise now that it's 40 years and counting. Wow, that's, whenever I see 40 years and counting, it's still hard to believe this is the 40th anniversary year. He said, quote, "What people fail to understand is sometimes that success of these stories will stay with us long term. It's to bring new ideas. It's to..." Hang on, what is that? What's that right there? It's to... hang on. Hey, let me get my spectacles.
Legend.
Let me get my...
Legend.
Hey!
Legends. Just keep this in mind. Legends when he says this. Legends.
My reading glasses, hang on. Sorry, guys. I have my eyesight just fell on me. I had to look closer there. To bring new ideas is to expand the universe. That I wish I had a cricket sound effect.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. That's the title of this episode, Bruce, by the way.
I was just writing it down, actually.
As with last week, Mark is out camping this week, so he's not available, so which means Bruce has been doing the show notes, so Bruce, make a note of that. This episode's called It's All Connected. That's got to be the title. Anyway, he says, Ryan had a chance to really go crazy, and I'm a big Star Wars buff, so certain things I saw, I was just like, well, that's a first. And for me, that's a really cool experience. So I'll tell you what, it's new, it's different, right? It's like, I guess it's like, one way of putting it would be.
Ryan has written a story that's unexpected, but right. Some of the stuff that happens, people are gonna be like, oh my God. It feels like its own thing.
Everything is being shifted in an opposite way to what the audience expected after 7. Fresh and new.
I'm hoping it'll be a little shocking, but I'm hoping it'll feel real and honest.
So, there's that. I'm saving that audio, because listen, here at about November, early December, that's all we're going to hear on every single interview in the press tour. It's different, shocking, subverting the expectations, the opposite direction of everything after episode 7. That's the thing.
Right, because the last movie, when they did The Force Awakens, it was all about practical effects.
Yeah.
No. This one, it's all about, it's different, because the criticism of The Force Awakens was, oh, it's too much like A New Hope. Oh, it's not really that original story. Now they're like, it's different. It's different. We've already gotten over the hump of telling you it's all practical effects. Now we're going to tell you, oh, it's all different. It's new stories.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have one more news story that I'm going to do in this episode, because we have more stuff with Boyega, but I want to do an audio clip from ABC News that tells us a little bit about the potential in The Last Jedi. But I'm actually going to push that back a little bit, because listen, we got to do Bruce is 5 minutes. He's got to get out of here.
No, keep it going.
You saying?
Yes.
He's like, keep it going. All right. The show must go on, ladies and gentlemen. John Boyega on ABC News has an interesting tidbit that might talk a little bit about Carrie Fisher's legacy as it unfolds on screen in The Last Jedi. Here we go.
Carrie Fisher, we lost.
Yeah, yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah, that was very sad.
You didn't have many scenes to do with her.
We have many scenes in 8.
In this one.
Yeah, in this one coming up. We work together closely.
How was she with you?
Yeah, amazing. You know, it's the same old. I mean, you get to know someone. The gloss and the glamour of who the person is, it starts to kind of go away, and you just see the person, and you're having a great time, you're enjoying each other's company. And I was in Nigeria when I found out. I was with family, and it was strange. A strange feeling. I felt like everybody in the cast and just obviously around the world just went silent for a bit, kind of like a dim light. But this movie does her a lot of, it sends her off in a very amazing way, and she's still kept alive in this franchise, and that's the beauty of it. You know, she lives forever in that sense.
Kept alive in this franchise. I like that. I think this is going to be a constant thing with Last Jedi. I really trust Rian Johnson. I really think they have something amazing as a send off. They're not going to put it off to 9. And there are so many ways you can go about it. I don't doubt it for a second. Don't doubt it for a second. One more piece then. Since we have half a second, we're going to do this Hollywood Reporter piece on Jack Thorne. In fact, he's a writer who wrote on the Harry Potter. I don't know if you've heard of the old Harry Potter, Bruce. The stage play. I forget what it's called. It's not here in the story. It's not. I'm sure it's mentioned in the main story, but he wrote that. He also He's writing the upcoming Julia Roberts, Jacob Tremblay movie, Wander. Never heard of it. But he's now working on episode 9. And so, yeah. So he and his writing partner Derek Connolly, are working on the script, and sources, according to The Hollywood Reporter, sources say a fresh set of eyes was needed. It's unclear how extensive the rewrites will be. Listen, I'm telling you, man, I'm freaking out about these episode 9 reshoots. It can't happen.
They haven't reshot anything.
No, I can't. Listen, I think the movie's it's on thin ice, man. I'm just telling you, I'm this close from just like giving up on Star Wars. I can't believe they're reshooting episode 9. Rian Johnson, he of course wrote and directed episode 8. So he's a writer and director. That's not what we're getting with episode 9. We have a separate writer and director, which is interesting because with TFA we got writer director combo with JJ Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan. I'm Lawrence Kasdan. He kind of talks like that. He's like, "Hi." When I was talking to George, how do you think how rate it? It's I'm going to say C+, only C+, passable.
Yeah, I would say passable. That's about right. I knew who you were doing, so it was.
So you recognized it. You recognized it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's happening. Last Jedi's ruined. They're reshooting it. I can't believe it. It's a big problem. Okay. All right. It needs to stop. I'm just saying. I've had enough.
It's worth a lot to me.
Hey, did you hear Santa Claus there?
As you wish.
Hey, Santa. I would like to get, would you get me a red wagon and an iMac Pro for Christmas?
As you wish.
Oh, thanks, Santa. I appreciate it.
You have a lot of big connections there if you got Santa.
Oh, man. Let's get that. All right, Boba's Bounty. It's what we do every week. We talk about something we read, experienced, talked about. So it's a big Star Wars-y week for you, right, Bruce? Nothing outside
Absolutely
of the
not.
Star Wars saga, right? You're just thinking all wars all the time. Woot, woot.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was at Star Trek Las Vegas, but I did see R2-D2 at Quark's Bar during the happy hour. He was twirling around. There was like one of the droid builders there, and R2-D2 was like, so it was pretty cool to have Star Wars represented at the Star Trek convention.
So what is the Star Trek? What is the Star Trek? I mean, what is the Star Trek convention? What? I know it starts. Who is this, Hans?
What is the Star Trek?
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Yeah. What's the Star Trek thing? So was that the only Star Wars thing that you did this week? Was that literally you went to a Star Trek convention?
No, actually, I also reviewed Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad on the 602 Club.
Oh, nice.
And that book is written by Christy Golden, and that episode recently dropped. It dropped on Sunday. And Christy, I think it was Sunday or Monday, but anyway, Christy Golden listened to the episode, and it has
what?
Matt Rushing and Michael Morris on, and she really appreciated what we had to say.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I did that from Las Vegas when I was at the Star Trek convention.
How did you guys know she listened?
Because she responded to us on Facebook.
I swear to God, if you said Twitter, I was just going to be... I don't know. Sorry. I'm confessing I'm terribly distracted right now because I was trying to find a jingle. I was trying to find... Listen, I'm just going to tell everybody just to be straight up and honest. I was looking for a Jango Fett soundboard. I couldn't get the Flash Player to load on StarWars.com. I was going to literally do an entire conversation with Jango Fett as Santa Claus. I thought it would have been funny, but I'm burying it. I'm burying that bit. We're done with it. Star Wars. Hey, guess what I did this week?
What did you do this week?
Not a ton of Star Wars-y stuff, besides the poor Glitch's round table. But you know what I just did see?
What?
I just saw the Beltway Banthas on Twitter tweet at me the title of Finis Valorum's new book. Now, of course, people know my long history with the awesome Beltway Banthas podcast. We did an interview, in which case I dubbed the illustrious third member of the Bush family to run for president. Jeb Bush is Finis Valorum. Finis Valorum is the Jeb Bush of the Star Wars universe. That's my operating theory. Listen, it was a funny joke at the time. It was in the middle of the election cycle. It was funny. It was like, order! We shall have... Can you imagine if Finis Valorum was in the middle of the 2016 election cycle? Not that this is dangerous territory to get into on a podcast. We're fine here. No one's going to get upset at us at all. But can you just imagine if sort of like in the middle of one of the Republican primary debates, it's like Jeb Bush is such a weak loser. And then he's like, actually, I was a governor in Florida and I was really good. In fact, I can't... Everyone here's crazy. In fact, order! You know, it's just like Finis Valorum's up on stage. Order! We shall have Mr. Valor, Chancellor Valorum, if you don't, I'm the moderator. Please stop. No, I'm the moderator. Please, what is your economic Order! We shall have order.
Wait, I'm confused. What does this have to do with Boba's bounty?
All right, I'm going to stop. It's an extended bit on what it would be like if Finis Valorum was running for president of the United States. I'd watch that debate, right? Wouldn't you? Right. I want to see Finis Valorum in a presidential debate. He would be. I mean, granted, he's totally bought out by the banking clan, but, you know, like, who else isn't sold out in American politics? He'd fit right in. He's like, what is the Palpatine quote? He's like, where he's all like, he's totally bought out. And so you can see this is where the bureaucrats come in. You know, it's like whispering in the ear. Finis Valorum. So, yes, the Beltway Banthas just tweeted me. So this is my Boba's bounty, because this literally happened during the recording of this podcast. They tweeted me 5 minutes ago and said, too soon, #, unlikely Star Wars spinoffs. And it's a picture of this photoshopped new book by the one and only Finis Valorum. And I'm sure it's his personal biography telling about the history of what the goings on of the Phantom Menace and how on earth he got ousted from the chancellorship. The title of the new Finis Valorum documentary is What Happened? And like that, we're done. That's a show, guys. We're done. I'm out. Bruce, what do you think? Let me just a little quick check-in. What'd you think of the show today? How do you... You all right? Give me your review. Your iTunes review for today's show.
There's other podcasts out there to listen to. No, this is fun. I like it when you're having fun.
Listen, go.
You know, if you're having fun, we're having fun. That's the thing.
I hope so. Yeah, seriously, guys, stop listening to this crap. Go listen to Beltway Banthas. That's the lesson here. Go listen to them.
Those guys are great. I have dinner with them when I go to D.C. They're always...
They, of course.
Steven and Suara.
Of course they're in D.C. Of course they are. All right. Hey, this podcast, again, big thank you to everybody supporting us on Patreon. Hey, join the club. Get our bonus Rogue Transmissions and do it at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Big thank you to everybody who joined us. It's a way to get that bonus podcast. And we're going to be scheduling the upcoming weeks our next big Skype roundtable, the Bothan High Council, meeting. It's sort of like Utugunga and Boss Nass, but Bothans. I start the Skype, every Skype call, I'm just like, you used to think you're greater than the podcast. That's what we do. That's how we have a big Skype roundtable, and you can even listen to it. So it's all there, available. StarWarsReport.com/Patreon or Patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's how easy it is. You just have to remember one of those. Also, we're available on Twitter and Facebook. It's just Star Wars Report. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at the Riley Guy, and that's where I should probably mention that I'm going to Austin. I forgot to mention. I thought I should have said this for Boba's Bounty, but we will. I will be hanging out with Bethany, who's out in Texas already right now on orders from the Air Force, and we're gonna hang out that weekend with Teresa, and we're gonna record Star Wars Report awesomeness. It's gonna be a great time. great time. So expect some awesomeness from the recording happening there. And there may or may not, I may or may not be meeting up with Brian Brushwood to shoot some stuff / record some stuff if it works out. Who knows? I'm just saying. So follow along with my road flight and trip to Austin. There'll be all kinds of Star Warsy goodness at The Riley Guy. Bruce is at Admiral_Rex. Now, Bruce on Twitter, he's just tired of it all. He's just scared. I'm just going to... He's just staying out.
Because I never know what's true and what's not.
Listen, there's so much drama. Listen... Let's love each other. Let's love each other. That's the message of today's podcast. Love each other. Love Santa Claus. Love Captain Rex. You know what? Even love if Captain Rex is Santa Claus. Just love it all. That's the Star Wars Report podcast, folks. Until next time. Fire off an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. I'm sure if you have thoughts on the Captain Rex situation, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe I'm sure this will probably end up doing a follow-up of some kind. starwarsreport@gmail.com. Everything you want to learn is at starwarsreport.com/about. Subscribe to the show, rate us, review on iTunes. We do appreciate those. Except after this week. Wait a week until next week's episode. I'm sure it'll be better than this one. Then you can leave us a review. Until next time, folks, may the Force be with you, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Thank you for riding Star Tours. Bye-bye. Oh, what a world. What a world. What happened?
What a wonderful world.
What a wonderful world. I see trees green. I see Captain Rex, Santa Claus, yeah.
All right, let me stop the recorder. See you guys.